Have we all got smiles on our faces?
Yes.
Everybody, look around. Look at the person next to you. If they're not smiling, stick them. Y'all smiling? All right, good. God is good.
All the time.
God is good. All right. So, what's our first candle called?
Oh,
good. Yes, prophecy. That's right. I was told this worked. Okay, prophecy. What was the second candle?
Bethlehem.
Why is it so important, Bethlehem? That's right. The prophecy told it that Christ would be born there. The third candle?
Angels.
And then the one with last week? All right. Okay, Bruce, if it falls over, come on, blow it out, okay? All right. If everyone will take out their message notes, if they haven't already, if you're new with us, we have three questions at the very top of your message notes that are important for you to be able to first have read through and then apply them to the message as we go through it today. This is our 37th or 38th out of my 40 years here Christmas series that we'll be completing today. So today we're bringing our understanding to the real reason for Christmas and what Christmas was always intended to be and how it got lost in the junk of the pagan Christmas that we all get involved in. The pagan Christmas cost us billions and billions of dollars. Some of you probably are in that group that is going to be paying off your plastic card somewhere into next year. I've even talked to one guy that told me he hasn't paid off the card for last Christmas. So I said, then you didn't use it this year, and he just giggled. So, you know, Satan has his way of drawing us away from the real Christmas. And a lot of people in the church don't know what the real Christmas is. So the last 4 weeks, we have looked at what our Heavenly Father says, what the Word of God actually tells us Christmas is and what it was intended for. You know, we have this word we learn in seminary. It's called the hypostatic union. And this is where we're looking at Jesus, and he's perfectly God, perfectly divine. And at the same time, he is perfectly human, something no other human being has been able to understand, except for Adam and for Eve, and I'm not quite sure how long they were perfect mom and dad to the creation, to human beings in the world. But I've set a record, so I'm told, by one of our staff members for having the longest title given to a message. I beat Jack Littlefield. So next time Jack speaks here, you can tell him, I beat him. And he'll work on just trying to get a little bit further ahead. But we're looking at the GHCC family event Advent on Christmas Eve. The candles we just went through and their meaning. The candles don't mean a whole lot to a lot of people. I didn't even know what Advent was before I became a pastor. The church I came to faith in didn't celebrate Advent as Advent. They didn't celebrate the ancient church's custom of the things that I'll share a little bit about, more about this morning. But we looked at the prophecy candle and hope that comes along with that. Isaiah spoke to us and gave us wonderful news, but that news went 750 years out prior to the birth of our Lord. The beauty about prophecy in the Bible, it's specific. It's not general. It's not like you could add all kinds of other things to it. When we're told that the virgin will give birth, Mary was a virgin and she gave birth. There's no dilly-dallying here. There's no stretching this and making more of it than was intended. The virgin would give birth and she gave birth. We looked at, he is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem. Prophecy is specific. And other people who prophesy, they can't give specifics like the Lord because they don't know what tomorrow will bring. They're guessing. They're guessing. And their guessing is usually very broad. We looked at the angel's candle about joy, the wonderful joy that the angel came and shared with the shepherds, and then there was a whole choir, if you will. I don't even know if it was truly considered a choir singing four-part human harmonies or whatever, but there was this tremendous multitude of angels that came, and they were speaking very wonderfully about the glory of our Lord. And then last week, the shepherd's candle, talking about this unconditional love. It is a God-based love. It is a love that only God can truly share with people and those who are filled with God, the Holy Spirit. It is this love that is given to genuine Christians to share back with God the Father and with other people. So looking at your notes, I wrote there for us, as we've discovered, Advent, the coming of the incarnate Son of God, the God-man, Jesus, the Messiah, is a season of four Sundays that mark a special time in the church. The ancient Christian church celebrated Advent as a kind of fresh start to faith and worship. Advent is a time to anticipate and spiritually prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, Savior, Abba Father's gift of love, this agape love gift that Father God gave to us. At the same time, Advent anticipates and hopes for Jesus' glorious return at the end of the age. He's coming again. I'm only sorry that at the age that I am, I'm pretty certain I won't get to see that. But I'll come back. If any of the young people are still here, then I'll probably bother them for a little bit. But what is Advent? What is it? The word Advent comes from the Latin advento, meaning coming or arrived. Coming or arrived. We're celebrating and looking forward to the second coming. We're also celebrating his first coming, his arrival. And what a wonderful thing that must have been for those shepherds on one of those hills surrounding Bethlehem, that time of year that he first came. The traditional Bible reading for Advent teaches us through the prophets and through a couple of kings and the forerunners, that we should be prepared for the coming of the Lord. Not his first coming, but his second coming. His first coming teaches us in our own preparations to celebrate his arrival that he's coming again. But to place in our DPE, our deep personal experience time, this knowledge that we glean from what the scripture actually says about Christmas, and make ourselves ready. Every day, Christmas, in reality, as we will discover, is every day. And so it should be. But somehow, I don't know how everybody got relegated here other than the early church wanted to take a pagan holiday, still act like pagans, but call it Jesus' birthday. Jesus, for you who may be new with us, he wasn't born on the 25th of December. The early church, that they themselves, many of them pagan, they just decided that that's what they were going to do. And they used it for various other devices. But the church had drunken orgies even back then, and as they continued to celebrate Saturnalia, the former pagan god that was being worshipped at that time. It had to do with being the longest day of the year. If you look at your notes and up on your screen and in your worship guides, I found this photo, this picture. I don't know who they really are. It's supposed to be like prophets. So I just named them Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Micah. Because those are the gentlemen who have brought us the prophecies concerning the coming of Jesus. And they were accurate because they spoke for God. God gave them the actual information that was necessary to pinpoint the coming of our Lord. If you look at your notes, many Christians celebrate Advent with a special time of devotions, including Bible reading, prayer, singing, and the lighting candles on an Advent wreath, much as we have here, but the candles are going to be a little bit better in the ones I hope that you make. This is an encouragement, family, that you take the teachings of the last 4 weeks and this morning and pray about if the Lord would have you during the year create and or go out and buy a Advent wreath. You can use this with your little ones to teach them important things about our Lord. You can use it to have friends over it to the house and just happen to be lighting one of the candles. And I'm quite sure someone's going to say, "What's that all about?" "Oh, I'm glad you asked." And you can share with them what the prophecy candle means. You can share with them what the Bethlehem candle means. You can share with them what the angel and the shepherd candle means. And if it happens to be that you have non-Christian friends over to the house on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, you can share with them about all four of those candles and the center one that we'll discuss in a little bit. Popular scripture reading for you as a family, you as a couple, or just you as an individual during your deep personal experience time with the Lord. You can begin with Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, remembering what the prophet told us earlier in the month. He said, "For to us a child is born." And we ask, what child is that? Well, we'll find out, won't we? "To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Well, the beauty is the first part of this prophetic verse has been shown to us. It has been opened up to us. We know that this child that is to be born in the city of David, Bethlehem, is Jesus. We have learned that this prophecy about the son that is given is the Son of God. And this government is going to be on his shoulder, but that takes place during the millennial kingdom. That is yet to come. I'll be coming back for that one, but I won't be here for it. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, this is wonderful, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He is the Eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. And we know that he is Jehovah Jireh. He is our provider. We know that he is our shepherd. We know that he is our healer. We know that he goes by so many very descriptive names that we can talk to him and they ring back to us the things that are true about him, just like we have here. Then Matthew, he quotes this angel Gabriel in his gospel. We see in chapter 1, verse 23, he says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." Now, this is 750 years after Isaiah made the same statement in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Prophecy. God's word is always right on. It goes on and says, "And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And that's exactly what Isaiah said. One of his names, our Lord's names, is Emmanuel. He's with us, aren't you, Lord? Yes, you are, for sure. The prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2 of the book in the Old Testament that bears his name, under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, he said these things, and he wants to tell the GHCC Christians about this one more time, going forward in the 21st century. He says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you shall come forth, for from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." And he was talking 700 years, not 750, but 700 years prior to the coming of the birth of the Lord Jesus in the little town of Bethlehem that we sing about. Bethlehem, the town of David, King David. This is where he would be born. And lo and behold, that is exactly where he was born. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 7 through 11, we read, "And she gave birth to her firstborn, her very first child, her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a feeding trough." She wrapped him up like a little mummy from his shoulders all the way down, covering his feet. Wrapped him in swaddling cloths, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region, the hills surrounding Bethlehem, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, in those days in Israel, there were lions and bears and jackals and all kinds of carnivorous beasts. There weren't any bears, otherwise I would have used lion, tigers, and bears. Oh my. But there weren't any tigers. They were over where the Sarabis used to live. And the lambs. But watching over their sheep, protecting them. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. I would have loved to have been there. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And again, as you recall, it was just pitch dark. And there weren't any car lights. There weren't any floodlights from the city or anything like that. It was just really dark. And then, pow, you got this light. And it scared them. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." I bring you good news. And the family, this is good news. It's news that if you have friends who have yet to really come to know Jesus, part of the very reason he came was for you to tell them about him. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people, not just the people in Israel, but the people in India, and the people in China, and the people in the Middle East, not just Israel. "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Messiah, the Lord, Christ, the Lord." If you'd show the next photograph, please. You know, here we have our artist's rendition of Bethlehem then. Bethlehem, nighttime. But the picture that is painted here by an artist and its depiction is of an event that would be taking place up to 2 years later when the star would appear. It didn't appear on the night of our Lord's birth. The Magi didn't come on the night of our Lord's birth. As you recall, they visit him at a house. If you'd show the next photograph, please. An artist's depiction of an angel speaking with the shepherds. Sometimes the pictures don't come out all that wonderful in your worship guide, but again, to bring to life, to make the scripture dynamic, this angel has come and he has this great news. For the first time, we are getting an understanding of why it is that Jesus is being born, why it is that God the Father would send his Son into a corrupt world. In Luke's gospel, Dr. Luke, he shares the following under the inspiration of God the Holy Spirit, and he says, "And this will be a sign to you." The angel saying to the shepherds, "You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel an untold number of other angelic hosts, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God! Glory to the wonderful counselor, if you will. Glory to Almighty God. Glory to the eternal Father. Glory to the Prince of Peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." You see, he's not pleased with everybody on this globe. He is pleased with those who have peace with him. It is those who have responded to his gifts that he sent before he even sent his Son into the world. He sent his grace. His grace has been upon us before the birth of Jesus. This unmerited, undeserved favor of God. He gave us this grace that in faith we could recognize, one, what God is like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And humankind, they've gone their own way. They have each one become sinners. Every one of us born in sin and have lived in sin. But because of God's grace and mercy, because of this faith that he offers, these wonderful gifts that come with the Christmas gift, Jesus, these gifts now allow for us to find ourselves having no mistake. He's holy, we're sinful. He won't have anything to do with sinful mankind. He created a place that sinful men can go. It's called heaven. It's the place where he lives. One day there's going to be a new heaven. And we'll be the ones that'll be occupying it with others that have recognized that they were sinners, deserving the other place that was created for sinners, and that is hell. But we don't have to choose hell. We can choose heaven by recognizing who Jesus is. And by recognizing who he is, we can have peace with God, and therefore we will recognize within this statement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men. We'll have peace with God, and he will be pleased with us by recognizing his Son and all that that means. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, Titus, Paul refers to as he does to Timothy, as his son in the faith. And he writes to Titus and he says, "For the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God has appeared." Really? Where has it appeared? "Bringing salvation to all the people." Oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live life, self-control, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Now we get a better understanding that those who don't understand the true Christmas, who think that the malls and the lights and all of that stuff is Christmas. No, it's not. That is a distraction from Christmas. I mean, if you want to go out and spend money, you just like to go buy gifts and so forth, my office is right across the patio. You don't have to have an excuse. Just do your thing, but come over there. Better yet, do that, but every Sunday that you come and worship him, do it there. He came and he's training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. The problem with what he's saying here, family, is that you and I, and you know, you and I have brothers and sisters who are professing, and hopefully their profession is correct, that they're born again, that they are sons and daughters of the Most High God. But they are not self-controlled. They are not living upright, godly lives in this present age. And it's confused a lot of Americans. I have met young men who have told me, "I don't understand. My professing Christian friends act just like me. And I'm not a Christian." But that's why he came, to tell us the way we are supposed to be obedient, and that if we have been born again, then the Holy Spirit lives within us, and he'll help us do that every day, every single day. waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. He gave himself for us to redeem us, to buy us back, to buy us out of Satan's family, to buy us back out of the marketplace of sin. He came to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession. Peter told us that when we studied portions of his epistles, his letters. Jesus had told Peter, and Peter told us, that he considers us his prized possessions. Prized possessions. Each one of us who are born again. We have been labeled prized possessions. We have been labeled people who are to populate his holy kingdom. We are part of his royal priesthood. We are set apart family. Each one of us as Jesus' brothers, Jesus' sisters. We've been set apart because he has something in mind for you to be very much a part of as to why he really came and why it's Christmas. We're to be a part of the Christmas gift. He came to give. We have received. We are to now go out and give. This is the gift, as someone coined, that keeps on giving. At least it's supposed to be. We are his own prized possession, who are zealous, zealotas, eagerly desirous for something to happen. We're his prized possession, who are zealous for good works. The things that we see Jesus doing in Scripture, the things he has spoken to us about, we are to be about the same things. This is Christmas, family. This is Christmas. Not the malls, not Amazon.com. This is Christmas. Now, did you know that there are colors, specific colors for Advent? The main color is purple. Purple. It has traditionally been the main Advent color, symbolizing repentance and fasting. Repentance. As we move into the Christmas season, we are to be mindful of the Lord, why he came. He went to the cross for our sins. And with that in mind, we need to be constantly thinking about how am I doing? How am I doing as an individual? Is my brother Jesus happy with me? Is my Abba Father happy really with me? I need to get my life straight, maybe. So repentance. I'm going to ask him to forgive me for certain things that have been going on in my life. Certain things that Christians, I've noticed in Christian families in particular, they don't even recognize them anymore because they participated in this wrong way of thinking. Husbands do not love their wives as Christ loved the church. What happened to that?
Well, I remember you telling me that, Ron, when you brought us together in holy matrimony.
But they don't remember it now. Just ask their wives. And the wives don't honor their husbands. Well, they remember it on the day that they're married. But they lost track of that. They don't honor their husbands. And they should be. You see, in the Christian home, or the real Christian home, these things should be manifested. There should be a confession, repentance probably going on all the time. Kathy can tell you, I ask her to forgive me, I don't know how many times throughout the year. And she does, I think. Yeah. Fasting. How many of you know Christians who actually fast? Okay, what, three of us? Four of us? Five of us? Six? Anybody else want to fib? That's a dirty word in the Christian church. Fast? Oh, I get headaches. I don't know. It's a time of repentance and fasting. A royal color, purple, looks forward to the reception of the coming king who is celebrated during Advent. It's like some of us actually did get cards and we transferred into being birthday cards. But for some, there are those of us, you know, I still have a hard time because he's still in this invisible thing. And Jesus, he's physical, but he's in another realm. And I have a hard time. Does he really exist? Does he really exist? Because you see, to go get him a birthday card is just natural since we're celebrating his birthday. I mean, we got our Lord, Kathy and I, a birthday card. I have a birthday card that I'm waiting to give to my granddaughter, Riley, because her birthday's tonight. But she has COVID, and I'm not going to get to see her. But we'll give it to her later. But you see, the reality is she's very real, and we got her a birthday card, and we got her some gifts. And Jesus is real. He's absolutely real. And I got him a birthday card. And I told him what I think about him in there. How we love him. It's real. And we got him a real gift for his cause in our community, in the world. A sacrificial gift. Sacrificial. Not what's been left over. The real stuff. Today, in many churches, blue is used. Why, I don't know. As I said earlier, I didn't even know Advent existed. I came to faith in a Baptist church. They didn't celebrate it. I was raised up more and more in a non-denominational church. They didn't celebrate it. I just ran across it. And I thought it was kind of neat because it teaches great things. And so we started teaching our little kids around Advent. And knowing how kids like, you know, how many times do you have to light a birthday cake? You know, 10 times if you have 10 kids, right? Twice if you have 2 kids. 3 times if you have 3 kids. Well, we had to light the candles, relight the candles so that all 3 kids could blow out the Advent candles later in the night when we would go to bed. But they loved the candles. So the candles were a hook to teach them about prophecy, about Bethlehem, about the angels, about the shepherds. And it's all about Jesus. Pink and rose is used during the third Sunday. Why? I can't really tell you. They made it up. As far as I know, it represents joy. Well, okay, I'm as happy as a lark when I start thinking about the Lord. You know, that's one of the things that'll help anyone. If you're really in love with the Lord, the joy of the Lord will lift you up. So when you're on a downer, think about the Lord.
Well, I'm on this downer because I was thinking about the Lord. I'm in sin.
Well, confess, and you can have joy again. And promise that with the Holy Spirit's help, you're not going that way again. Represents joy, anticipating the coming of celebration. We're going to celebrate his birthday. He's real. This is a tangible way to make much of the Lord. White is the color in the center center candle, representing Jesus as the sinless, pure Savior. The Advent wreath. The wreath was developed. First there were candles, and then you had the wreath. And that came about in the 1500s as a way to mark the season of Advent, preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ, the light, the very light of the world. The wreath is made of evergreens. That's your fill-in. Made of evergreens and is usually placed on a table with spaces for the four candles around the wreath and one in the center. The wreath is normally put in a circle because it's representative of the life of God. The evergreen is green all year long. And God is often represented as a circle. No beginning, no end. He has always been. So one candle is lit on each succeeding Sunday during Advent, with the fifth candle in the center being lit Christmas Eve today or Christmas Day like last year. Our Lord is the light of the world. John helps us to recall that. John, in his gospel, chapter 8, verse 12. Let's read this together out loud, shall we? Let's read it together with some emphasis. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. As we look carefully here, he says, I am the Phos. I am the light. This is a symbol of me being God. This is a symbol of me being holy. I am the light of the world. I am not darkness. I'm not evil. I'm not sin. I am light. Family, Christmas is a time to show love. Agape love. Agape love. Seeking that other person's best and greatest good at your expense. This is the love that God has shared with us. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11, remembering John, he gave us the Gospel of John. He gave us the book of the Revelation. And then he wrote three epistles, three letters. And this is the first of those letters. And John wants us to remember, in the 21st century, the Holy Spirit is saying this to his church in the 21st century. And this is love. And this is agape, seeking the best and highest good of God. Of God. Our first commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then our neighbor as ourselves. In this, the unconditional love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this is love that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the perfect sacrifice, the one he came into the world for us to, for him to be the reparations for your sins and for mine. He came into the world not to be remembered in a birthday, but he came into the world to save us, to save us. Beloved, if God so agaped us, so sought us our best and greatest good at his expense, we also ought to agape one another, to seek each other's very best, highest good at our expense. And that's one of the major reasons, not here, but in this nation, people don't recognize the church. Because the church, for the most part, is very disobedient to loving people. That's why we have all this dissension in this country. The church missed it. But one of the things people speak about, brag about, I'm able to brag about, is so many, many of you, not all of you, not all of you, but most of you are known for this agape love that you so graciously dispense. So don't stop. Keep it up. And when you meet a GCCer who struggles with this, hug them. Hug them. And don't yell at them, but hug them and tell them, I'll help you in whatever way I possibly can. And I don't mean this in a prideful way, but we need to work on this agape love. We need to work on it. Because some people don't see your love for him. Some of you don't see joy in your life should you lose a relative. Some people don't see peace in your life because you've lost this relative and they've been gone a couple of years now. They don't recognize patience. They don't recognize some of the a GHCC or two or three or four or five having that kindness, self-control. They don't see this humility. They don't see this meekness. They would love to be seeing from you and in their life forgiveness. You see, I stand here before you without excuse. I know the Lord Jesus. I have God the Holy Spirit living in me. And if I don't manifest those things, then I'm first dishonoring him, and I'm letting you down. I'm letting you down. And those are two things I don't want to do. And therefore, I have memorized the fruit of the Spirit and those other things that he's added. I've memorized them, and I go over them every day, and sometimes during the day, and that's where my repentance, my spiritual breathing comes in. Boy, did I mess up on self-control on that one. I actually said that out loud in the car. I'm glad nobody was with me to hear it. See, I still have the flesh. I recognize that, but I can't use that as an excuse. I can't use it as an excuse. I'd like to, but he's convinced me over many, many years now. Doesn't work, Ron. It's sin. You got to really pray through that. Let's talk about that. Let's do something serious about that. So family, do we get it? That's why he came. It's Christmas. He came to change every one of us to be more like him, to be blessings, to be gifts to the people around us. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, hey, I'm a gift to you. Tell them right now, hey, you're a gift to me. Hey, Charlie, I'm a gift to you. Believe it or not, you're a gift to him. So family, get it? Good. Now, say with me aloud. Look there in your notes or on the screen. Let's say this together, out loud, with emphasis. Lord Jesus, we greet you together. Together. All right, one more time. Lord Jesus, we greet your coming, your arrival, with wonder and love. We are as family to you, Lord. Joy to us, the Lord has come. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Amen. Merry Christmas, family. Abba, Father, we wish your son, if we could, we would love to make this the happiest of birthdays, my Lord. There are those here who want very much for your son, our Savior, our Redeemer and friend, our brother, to be very, very blessed. It's his birthday. And we have come to worship you in earnest, with a full heart, with a mind focused on him and you and God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. And Father, we come and with a hope that we have demonstrated through our musical prayers, through our giving of the birthday gifts to your son, that we are willing to sacrifice anything. Anything at all for you and your cause. Father, we thank you. As I've been told, the Fantoma has been set free from that prison in Iran. We thank you. Should that be the truth? I personally haven't seen it, but I do trust the source. So, Father, you've been so very good to us in sending your gift to us into the world. He is our Christmas gift, our eternal gift, our eternal Savior. We are to eternally forgiven of our sins. We will one day be at that wonderful banquet with you. We will not be standing before you at the great white throne judgment. We will not be there to see Satan and his minions and those who have chosen to be with him being thrown into the lake of fire. We will not be there to see the evil one, the Antichrist and his prophet being thrown into the lake of fire. But we will be rejoicing forever and ever and ever and ever in your heaven. We thank you for saving our souls and for the real reason for Christmas, Father. Thank you so very much. And it's in Jesus' saving name we pray. Amen.